In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is proclaiming the word of the kingdom, the good news of the gospel. And he tells us some of the things that get in the way of us hearing, taking to heart, and so being changed by the gospel. But before we get into what gets in the way, let's first ask the question, what is the gospel? What is the good news that we're supposed to get excited about to the point of changing our lives? I think it's important for each and every one of us to have ready at hand a clear and succinct way to say, what is the gospel? And since some of you might run out of the building and not come back if I put you on the spot and asked you, I'll try to give you my own succinct answer to that question, what is the gospel? We were created for relationship with God and one another. We rejected God's place at the heart of our relationships. And that's why God sent Jesus to restore to relationship those of us willing to say yes to him. Created for relationship, rejected that relationship, restored in Jesus alone to that relationship. Now there's a lot further, very important details to that summary that we could add, but that's one way of putting it in a nutshell. And I want to add that one of the things that makes the gospel so exciting is not just Jesus preaching how to live, not just his suffering and dying for us out of love for us, not just his rising from the dead and ascending to glory for us. Those are all great. But what makes it gospel, good news, is that he sends down his own Holy Spirit into us. And from that moment on, you become Jesus. And you become Jesus. And you become Jesus, and you become Jesus, and I become Jesus. That's incredible. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It happens today. That's good news. That's what makes the gospel so exciting. And most of the time, we don't see it. You are Jesus. That's why I love you as my brother and sister. In the second reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he tries to help us to get excited about this gospel. He says, the sufferings of the present are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. And he says that all of creation is waiting with eager expectation our revelation as the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility. Futility. We experience that all the time if we pay attention. Much of our lives are spent distracting ourselves from the futility of creation. What do I mean by that? We work hard. We put up with a lot of suffering and trial and tribulation for what? So that we can get sick and die. It doesn't matter how much money you make, or how smart you are, or how well you live, sooner or later you'll die. And to what purpose? All of our working and playing and creating and making and composing and writing and speaking, etc., etc., all of it comes to an end. And there's nothing you or I can do about that. That's what St. Paul means when he says creation was made subject to futility. Creation can't solve its own problem of falling apart and dying. But the gospel reveals to us that Jesus can solve our futility problem. And that's exciting. That is good news. In the gospel, Jesus gives three reasons that tend to block us from receiving that good news. First, he says we can have hard hearts, like a hard path that refuses the seed from cracking it open. Hard-hearted might be a refusal to be vulnerable. It might look like cynicism. I refuse to be conned or taken in. But as a result, I remain in the world of futility and without real hope. Second, we can let suffering, our own or others, rob us of believing and hoping in the good news. There is suffering, but Jesus has addressed that too. Sometimes that suffering is persecution, and we want to avoid that. So we resolve never to look too much like a fanatic or anything, with regard to our faith at least, right? I mean, I believe in Jesus and all, but let's not get carried away. But we precisely do want to get carried away from our futility. Third, the lure of riches and pleasures can choke out the good news. Sometimes we act like this world of futility is better than the glorious freedom God is calling us to. Lastly, Jesus talks about good soil that receives the word and produces fruit. Receives the gospel, dies to the old self, and is transformed into something completely different from that seed, but actually into what it was really created to become. We become good soil, how? By fighting against our cynicism and hardness of heart, by striving to be vulnerable in prayer, by renouncing the hold that riches and pleasures have on our lives, by desiring to be true and sincere disciples of Jesus Christ. Frequent confession, frequent communion, daily prayer, daily reading of the Bible, these water and plow the soil of our hearts so that the word will transform us from seed to full-grown plant. The two relics that are present here point us to the lives and examples of Saint Manuel Gonzalez Garcia and Blessed Carlo Acutis. These two let the gospel, especially through the Eucharist, transform them. Saint Manuel served in Spain as a priest for 34 years and a bishop for 5. He felt an incredible closeness with Christ through the Eucharist, and that led him to honor the body of Christ in others, in the sick, in the homebound, in the poor, in the young and the old. He founded 3 religious communities to promote faith and devotion and to have a supportive communal life. He asked to be buried near the Eucharistic presence of Jesus. Blessed Carlo Acutis was born in 91 to a wealthy but not particularly religious family in Italy. But he was transformed by the Eucharist, asking on his own to make his first communion. He created a website to track Eucharistic devotion around the planet. But this Eucharistic devotion also led him to support and to help classmates who were bullied or disabled. And he volunteered to serve the poor and the sick. For both of them, the real presence of the Eucharist transformed them, led them to prayer, led them to love and serve other members of the body of Christ. We honor their earthly relics because they point us to the example of their lives, and they remind us to intercede with them in heaven. And because of their canonization and beatification, we know that these two will experience the resurrection of the body. They're witnesses to us that the futility of this world does not apply to those who sincerely follow Christ. So today, let's open ourselves to receive the good news again, but this time with a heart more vulnerable, less hardened, less choked, less fearful. So the homework for the week, throughout this week, intercede with Saint Manuel and Blessed Carlo to help transform your heart into rich and fertile soil for the good news of the gospel. If you get a chance to share the gospel with somebody, do that too.